Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Child Care. I'm here today with two of my colleagues from the Center for Inclusive Child Care, Priscilla Weigel and Dia Anderson.
Hi.
Hello. To be here.
And so we are continuing the discussion we had in the last podcast on stress, burnout, and depression in the early childhood community. And so we were hoping that you did a really great description of what that what might be the cause of some of that and how it might look. And so in this particular podcast, we'd really like to learn more, Dia, about the signs and symptoms. And I might reference the listeners at this point. You did some writing for the CICC, and you're director of our learning resources, and you have, there is available on our website, inclusivechildcare.org, some tip sheets and a whole self-study course, and then a shorter info module on this topic.
Correct.
So
correct.
Thank you for that.
And great online resources for folks.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what we might be looking for, maybe in ourselves or in somebody that we're working with.
Sure. Sure. And again, it's important for us to remember that we're all unique individuals, so we're all going to, you know, stress and symptoms of burnout or depression are all going to manifest themselves differently in mm-hmm. each of us. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to kind of give you the basics. But we know that all of these things, they impact us in multiple ways, socially and emotionally, cognitively, and even physically.
Mm-hmm.
There can be symptoms. So for instance, for signs of stress, socially and emotionally, someone might feel anxious, irritable, overstretched, like there's too many demands, everybody wants something from me, just feeling like there's too much, I can't do it all. Sadness, that's a sense of apathy where I just don't feel like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might even withdraw socially.
Mm-hmm.
So cognitive signs of stress include things like difficulty concentrating, difficulty making decisions, maybe making decisions and judgments that you typically wouldn't make because you're not as focused on those things. Also, just difficulty sometimes solving problems, where problems that typically would not seem big seem mountainous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're feeling stressed,
sure.
Those little everyday things can appear much bigger.
Right, and then you get to the point of that whole feeling of, where do I even begin to deal with this? It's too hard. I'm just
exactly.
going to not touch that today.
Exactly. It feels overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, physical type things that can happen are, you know, tense muscles. You know, I think all of us will talk about, oh, I can tell I feel stressed because my neck is stiff or mm-hmm. my shoulders mm-hmm. are stiff or those kinds of things. Headaches, feelings of dizziness, increased blood pressure. Some people, when they're really under a lot of stress, will actually get ill more often because their immune system is suppressed.
Sure.
So they may catch things more easily. Also just that sense of fatigue, lack of energy, and sleep issues can be really common.
It's interesting because much of the way you've described depression, I think probably most of the people listening could say, yeah, I feel that and that and that and that. So maybe you could talk a little bit about when we get concerned over stress.
Yep. Well, one of the first things to keep in mind is that if any of those symptoms, you know, if you just have one or two, you know, it's probably not a big issue and it's something that will just take care of itself in time. But if you notice that you've got several of those symptoms and those symptoms are chronic and persistent, if they last for 2 weeks or more, then it's time to start to think about what's going on. It's time to really think about, boy, is this something that I should be talking to someone about, or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. The things that kind of like I said before, the symptoms of stress, burnout, and depression are, you know, there's not a definitive line between each. I think there are a few things, though, that are sort of do delineate one from the other. So the symptoms I talked about there are kind of those stress, but again, they're also part of burnout and depression. Burnout, oftentimes there's that feeling of indifference or resentment that, you know, you don't necessarily have when you're under a lot of stress.
Right.
So there's kind of, you know, wow, am I, you know, I'm starting to feel like the children are just here to ruin my day.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind, you know, they're just out to get me, mm-hmm. or being malicious. And we know children aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're starting to feel like that, that could be a signal that you're kind of feeling burned out, and it's time to think about what you can do to take care of that. And then depression, of course, is what characterizes or sets that one apart, I think, more, is that there can be that that sense of hopelessness, mm-hmm. and helplessness that can, mm-hmm. just take over. Also just losing interest in what is usually pleasurable to,
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, to the extreme is that when you're starting to have thoughts of harming yourself or someone else. And those are definitely things that we need to be aware of. And again, you can see when you look at the symptoms how they can impact our ability to care for the children in our programs. You know, it's difficult to be energetic and enthusiastic when you're feeling those types of feelings. Your mind becomes very focused on how you're feeling, which then makes it difficult to think about, oh, what would be interesting and stimulating
for
the children?
Yeah.
How do I do curriculum planning when, you know, it just makes those things that are typically just part of what we do, it makes them really challenging.
Right.
And quality of relationships,
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
the children and their family members can definitely be impacted. And another thing is just that ability to be present,
yeah.
and focused. I think often when you're under extreme stress or you're burnt out or you're depressed, it's very difficult it's actually very easy to become very self-focused.
True.
And you're not as aware of what's happening around you. And it's not that you're choosing that. That's just part of that. And which that factors into being able to provide a healthy and safe environment.
Oh, for sure. Because if you're not looking around you and being aware of what's going on, you might miss something that's really unsafe.
If you're not able to be present and focus, mm-hmm. on what's happening, it can be easy to miss, you know,
a child
who's
on the shelf or
exactly, or who's heading towards the door,
right.
those kinds of things. So it can definitely impact the safety and the quality of care that we're providing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned isolation, I believe, in the first podcast, and
yes.
that we see that in our work with more with family providers or in-home child care, when a person is the only staff person, they have all these children, long hours, and I know we'll talk about this in the next podcast, sort of strategies for breaking isolation, but maybe you can talk a little bit about how that isolation impacts mental health.
Exactly. That sense of isolation is being a family child care provider, or depending on an individual's personality, working in a center, you might tend to be more of a person that does things yourself, those,
mm-hmm.
kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easily it can easily happen that there is that sense of isolation. And for family child care providers, the truth of the matter is they are isolated. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're interacting with children for the primary part of their day, right. And there's not that adult interaction that can happen in a center-based program, unless, of course, they have a helper mm-hmm. or something like that. And what stress and burnout and depression can do is magnify that isolation, okay. mm-hmm. because in each of those, part of the major symptoms can be withdrawing socially.
Hmm.
So not only then are you isolated because of what you do, but you're also sometimes choosing to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
No longer does it feel comfortable to be around people. It's too hard. It takes
right.
too much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier just to choose, which then, you know, just makes that sense of isolation bigger
and more amplified. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. And as you stated earlier, that there can be a huge toll that children pay, as well as the provider's own
definitely
ongoing health.
And which then, you know, if for you know, I think for the most part, those who are in caregiving professions are very cognizant of the importance of their positions, and mm-hmm. You know, when you feel like you're not doing a good
right,
job,
then you feel defeated.
Then
and
you,
like,
yep,
oh,
and
I'm
you
not
feel
doing my work
exactly, and that just exacerbates
sure.
all those feelings.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this has given us a lot to think about in terms of how, what we might sort of be looking for, even if it's if we're able to do self-reflection. I think it's hard when people start to go down that road to be, as you said, self-aware, and we hope that there are people in their lives that are looking sort of for some of these signs and saying, well, maybe it's time I had a conversation with you about what's going on.
Right.
And so, and we will, for our listeners, let them know that we're going to do a part three, which is about, so we've kind of set the stage, and it's been a little bit, oh my, this is a lot to take in, but we do have some positives coming with strategies for providers to take care of themselves so maybe they don't get into this spot.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
That's all for now. See you next time.